So Hare Krishna, I thank you very much for again being with us. We will have our second session today, and we will end around 6 o'clock because
Maharaj, 6 minutes to stop talking.
Cool.
6:30 we have to be out.
Six, yes. So let me ask the question.
We end
a little like 5:45 and then we can do all the packing.
And then we prasadam to go box to take.
Prasadam to go box. And we can assemble before the place and talk if we wish to talk before the place, right? We need to be out of the hall here, but so it's good. No, we can do everything in the time which we need. Good. I think when we do so much kirtan, or let us say more kirtan than we are accustomed to do, it is always very helpful if we tell ourselves that, listen, my dear mind, there is no better place to be and there is no better activity to perform than kirtan. Because our mind will say, oh, again kirtan? I was catching my mind to say, okay, so I have here my lectures, the lecture is here. I have the book, I have my ragini, so what do I do now? Well, I have to sing Jayaradama, but we did so much kirtan, Sachinanda Swami did. It's just start to talk. And then I said, no, even now, there was kirtan before, when it was pervading the whole house like a thunderous explosion. So there was kirtan going on, but yes, we will just sing a little Jayaradamadava to tune ourselves in, because there's a few things which you can never do enough, and one of them is kirtan. I wanted to just introduce you. This is Lalita, who is playing the violin. She comes from Serbia. Where actually do you come from? Vranje.
Yes.
Is it a town or is it a
small town?
Small town.
In the south.
So, since she is a little child like this, I know Lalita, and she's learning violin at the Academy since many years, and yes, we have requested her to come and join us, so let us hear your violin also. Which is the melody, please?
Oh, Oh, I'm
Towards the end of his divine pastimes. And more the devotees observed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the last of three states of consciousness. It was when he was totally absorbed in Radha and Krishna and in some way not here. When Mahaprabhu would come out of these states of absorption, he would be still with one leg, so to say, in a spiritual, in the spiritual world, in a different identity than the one which the devotees would see. And he would be with the other leg in our reality. So he would not be fully there, and nor would he be fully there. He would not be, but he would tell about what he had seen. He would, for instance, talk about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, where he was there as an observer. For instance, he stood at the banks of the Jamuna and saw how Radha and Krishna were half submerged in the Yamuna water in almost like forests of lotus flowers, that's how it's described. And they would talk romantically with each other. They would splash water on each other. And he would say to the devotees, "Why have you brought me from this place with your loud voices and so on?" So he would talk what he had realized. So that's the in-between state. And then he would be in a state where he would talk philosophy and be with the people of this world. So he knew how to transition between the two worlds, and he would speak about his experiences when he was either when he was returning from the spiritual world to our dimension. And yes, he saw that the end of his manifested pastimes were coming in this world, and then spoke these verses which are recorded in the 20th chapter of the Antya Lila. Mahaprabhu had no one really knows if he spoke them in one flow, verse 1, then verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. These verses were first recorded by Rupa Goswami in his verse collection of Padyavali. Maybe you have heard that once Rupa Goswami came to the temple, and there was a Mayavadi sannyasi glorifying Govinda Dev and the deity in the Vrindavan, the Radha Govinda Mandir. And he could see that the deity was relishing these verses. And then afterwards, Rupa Goswami spoke to this sannyasi and found out that the sannyasi believed that he is one with God, Mayavadi. So he came back to Govindadev and said, "Why did you like to listen to this Mayavadi?" And Govindadev said, "Please understand, I like poetry." he praised me in poetry, but you never praised me in poetry. And as a result of this, Rupa Goswami wrote his famous work Padyavali, which is really an ontology. Do you know what an ontology is? A collection of different verses. He did not write all the verses himself, but he brought them all together. And it is here where, for the first time, and not in one bit, but like raisins sprayed over a good Dutch raisin bread, the verses were appearing at various places in this verse collection called Padyavali. Anyways, these are the verses which issued forth from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mouth. Either he wrote them or someone wrote them when he spoke them. And they are all his compositions. And it is said that the Lord gave this as a gift to the human society. And in the first verse, which he chanted, he actually speaks like only God can speak. On first glance, you will see there are seven benefits of chanting the holy name. Who of you remembers one of the seven benefits he mentions? Yes, Rati Manjari? Yes, so here's one. It can cleanse the mirror of the heart. When the mirror of the heart is clean, you can see yourself in God, in your heart. Huh? What other benefit is there? Yes, your name is Sachi Mata, I believe. Yes, our names are connected. That's Sachi. Nandan, he's Sachi Nandan. Yes, Sachi Nandan.
They conquer the latest verse.
Yeah, that appears later. We are looking for the benefits, seven benefits. But that is also very nice that you know this. Hmm? What is another benefit of chanting the holy name, according to Mahaprabhu, Maharaj Prataparudra? Yes. You come to the last, that is speaking to your heart. The joy increases of the ocean of nectar. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It extinguishes the blazing fire of
materialism. Yes, wouldn't that be? That's nice, no? It extinguishes the blazing fire of the threefold miseries, no? Adhyatmika, klesha, all these kleshas. Yes? Rati had a Manjari head already. Nilambara, you have chanted, yes?
Brings Vidya along with the Vairagya.
It brings Vidya, yes. Sometimes it is said, yes, it is the life of knowledge. And the Sanskrit word is Vadu, the bride of knowledge. When a man is together with his bride or his duly wedded wife in an ideal relationship, he feels encouraged and inspired. So that knowledge which is together, which is infused with the holy name, is no longer dry knowledge, but it is blazing, brilliant knowledge. Sometimes this Vadu is explained to be Radha, yes, also, who's the real real companion of Krishna. Right? Yes, so in this way there are benefits, but why are there seven benefits? Listen very carefully, because we are going now a little bit into the secrets of confidential bhajan. In the Rig Veda, we hear of yajna, a sacrifice, and the sacrificial fire has seven tongs, seven sapphires, which burn in it. And when they are there, then they come, when there's an expert priest, then actually the deity comes. You see in Vedic sacrifices, at the very end, sometimes at the Purnahuti, sometimes before, the priests, if the yajna is successful, will wave a zari around the fire. Why? Because a goddess has appeared in the flames. And I have a photo where you can see the goddess in the fire. It was done when I was, when my life was in danger. Then in South India, Vedic yajna was done. And at the end, the priests put a zari around the fire. And a photo was shot by Krishna's mercy at the right moment. And you could see a divine goddess. And she saved my life. The doctors had given me up. I had a total sepsis, total blood infection in all parts of the body. But then the goddess came and saved my life. So in a properly performed yajna, that's the point here, there are seven sapphires, or they call it also tongs of the fire. So Mahaprabhu, in composing this first verse, is telling us, listen, conditioned souls, this is a yajna, this chanting is a sacrifice, and if you do it properly, at the end of the sacrifice, who appears? Is it a goddess or who? Krishna! Wow, you know everything. These are confidential truths. But in the Hare Krishna movement, whenever we say Krishna, we usually get a good mark. In a way, we are all about Krishna. So, yes, my dear devotees, when you can perform the Sankirtan yajna properly, at that time, the seven benefits, the seven fires will arise, and Krishna will make his divine appearance. So I would like to talk today, in the second session, about this aspect of chanting, a sacrifice. You come, actually, when you come to the kirtan, you come and sit down at a place where God can manifest, Hare Krishna. But you need to also sacrifice something. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has sometimes these sharp words which really unsettle us. He says, kirtan is called sankirtan when many people perform it together. But will it be worthy of the name sankirtan if some worthless people, without any ardor means passion or eagerness for Sri Bhagavan's service, come together to shout in unison? You missed it, therefore I will read it again for you. But will it be worthy of the name sankirtan if some worthless people, without any eagerness for Sri Bhagavan's service, come together to shout in unison? Apparently it was not. There is real sankirtan, there is something which is shallow, which looks like it. Then he says, it will be true Harinam Sankirtan only when we join the Sankirtan of true devotees who are serving Sri Bhagavan according to the principles established in the Vedas and Eliot Shastras. It is in an article called Sri Nam Sankirtan. So what is it that makes this a real Harinam Sankirtan? It makes it a Sankirtan when you are offering this as a service for Krishna. I have been requested, there is a scientist who has developed a medical device which can increase the micro electricity which goes when they are nervous or when there are nerve impulses. You know, they are the nerves are not, it's not one thing, they are just coming close together, and then there are so-called synapses, you know, in between, you know, things which grow in between them. And then there comes a micro electricity impulse, and then you raise your hand. This is the first has to happen here. Some micro electricity, and then the hand goes up. So this is, there is a machine he has developed which can increase the activity in the nerves and can protect you from dementia, you know, forgetting things like I forget a lot. And so he has asked me, the scientist, we heard about the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and then did some initial measurements. Can we use this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in an app to increase brainwave activity? And furthermore, you are known to us as a good chanter because you disappear once a year for a certain amount of time to just chant. Can you chant on the medical advice so that people will start to chant? And I said, no, it's for Krishna, not against dementia. There are other things which you can do against dementia. And one is breathing, and I will give them information about pranayamas, which one can do, but not the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is for chanting properly, for glorifying Krishna. So if you want Krishna to appear, and not just dementia to disappear from your brain, if you want God to appear, then don't sell him short. Is that an English word? Sell him short? I learned this 1 week ago, and that's the first time I tried this English word. So we should make a sacrifice. What can we give to the chanting of the holy name? What is ours to give? We can give Prataparudapabhu, I can't hear. Heart, we can give our heart. What else?
Devotion.
I'm sorry?
Devotion.
Devotion, yes, we can. Your good name again, Prabhuji?
Bhakta
Louis.
Ron.
Also good. Yes.
Ron,
yes. Ron. Sounds like Ram a little bit. So Ron says, our devotion we can give. No? What is ours to give?
Attention.
We can give attention. Shochinandam.
Full attention.
Full attention we can give. Yes. Wonderful. Yes.
Imagination.
Oh. Yes, he is an artful person. Yes.
Time.
We can give our time. I think, yes. What I would like to give this class on, we can give body and speech, we can give our mind, and we can give our devotion. But time is also there. Mm-hmm. And when we engage this in the chanting of the holy name, then Krishna can appear. I always think like this, when we are, when the morning comes, the morning is there, and we are chanting my rounds, then yes, it's sometimes a sacrifice, because due to coming late to bed, the getting up is not so smooth and swift, but then I think, okay, let me engage in the sacrifice of chanting the holy name. I have my body, so let me sit down in a situation so that there's maximum concentration. Let me focus my mind, which is not always easy, because you know how it is when the day has started already. Whew, then you think of the list of things to do, and the mind is already starting to be active. Also, Ayurvedic wise, we know that the mind gets at from 6 o'clock on for 4 hours, it gets into the kapha mood. That means it is very bad for in spiritual activities. It's very slow and sluggish for spiritual activity, but material activity it can do. No? So, therefore, it is good if you can start your chanting already before 6 o'clock, when the time is not so graveyard-like for spiritual life. And I can give my heart. And then I perform the sacrifice of the holy name where Krishna can appear. Let me now go with you through these things. The first thing is, when you sit down to chant, you need to do something like a sankalpa. The Bhagavatam says, everything you make a sankalpa of, an intention of, that is what you will achieve. And when you chant and you make your tune your mind in and says, I'm now going to take this time to be with Krishna in the form of his holy name. You should really convince your mind that this is what we are going to do, because without it, the mind will go according to his own plans. You will see in a moment how strong your mind is. We will make an exercise where you will meet the mind. So I will now chant for Krishna's pleasure. I'm taking the time now to be with Krishna. This is what I will do. You have to tune yourself. Then, after the intention setting, you start with the body. That's the easiest to control, the body. I mean, at least for what we do. You sit straight. Yes, Sita is sitting straight today, yes, sit straight. You pronounce the mantra very clearly and you listen attentively. So these three things we will do now, see. Sit straight, please. For breathing, it's good if you open the volume of the lungs a little bit. They are usually squeezed in by haunched sitting. Open it. I always bring the shoulders up to the ears and then roll them down. Oh, you will see you are not chest like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So sit straight. Then we will pronounce the mantra very clearly. We will use both of the lips and we will listen attentively. I will chant one mantra alone and then we will chant together. Are you ready, Lalita? No, for chanting, no, why not? I will chant one time alone and then we will chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I am pronouncing the mantra very carefully, I'm sitting straight, and I'm listening as good as I can. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Begin to be able to do a diagnosis on sound vibration very easy. Some of your minds were not there. That was partly due to your digestion. The fire of digestion was going on, not the fire of Sankirtan. And it takes some energy, I know. But it's good that we do it at this time when we have a little challenge. So please now direct your mind to each name. Your sound should be outside sound and inside there should be the thought of Krishna. It's called Nam Smaranam. We should, in our mind, there should be the silent sound Krishna. Let's just for now continue. Let us just say a few times in our mind Krishna, not with the lips. Try. It will not. Sometimes the mind is sluggish, but we want him to work now a little. So say five Krishnas, please. Yes, so you will continue to think Krishna, but in addition, you will speak Krishna, no? Or the holy name. Everyone together. Hare Krishna. Yeah. we will chant one mantra, Om. And again, I request you to do this. It's a little higher the level, I know. To put your mind on the Om while you chant with your sound. To do something that is not yet occupied by our habits. We do have a habit of chanting without our mind present, and when we want to bring the mind to the chanting, it is nice to experience to do that with Om or Ram. These are two mantras, very important mantras. Because, you know, when you chant, the chanting really becomes this place where Krishna manifests. When you do this sankirtan, not just a vocal activity, practice it under Saraswati, called the chanting. Strong name for many of our kirtans. But we must make it a sacrifice where we use the body and the mind. When you chant, you will meet two companions in your life which you often overlook, but they are yet so important that they drive your life. One is monkey mind, Hare Krishna, and the second is the self, the essential being of you. I would like to make an exercise with you, Ajit. Can you please do come here and put this vase here in the middle? Yes, you can arrange it a little bit more beautiful, maybe. Does every one of you see this vase? I will request you soon to see the vase inside as a reproduction of what is going on inside. But can you see the blue flowers? Yes, no, middle.
Yes.
Do you see the red flowers?
Yes.
Do you see the orange flowers?
Yes.
Good. Please look at this now very straight. Don't look at anything else, not even the door which is squeaking at the moment. Just look into it, at the thing. I will now measure your performance. Try to concentrate on this object for 30 seconds. You are not allowed to think of anything else than this beautiful vase which Ajit has placed for you on this podest. When you hear the signal, you are, you have to start to only think about the vase, perhaps the colors, perhaps the water, the glass, the exquisite shape of the vase. So we start in 4 seconds. Nothing except the flowers. Think of nothing else. You have 10 more seconds to go. Quickly turn now to your neighbor and tell your neighbor honestly what you were thinking in these 30 seconds. Start now. Like and so on, what you were discussing, I didn't need to hear you. Maybe you have seen, no matter how much you try to narrow your focus, no matter how you try to stay for 30 seconds, that's half a minute, on this one thing, the mind just started to switch, like people when they look at the internet, they switch from channel to channel. You have met monkey mind. Who of you has watched the monkeys in Vrindavan? Yes, you have maybe seen. They're constantly active. They sometimes I wrote this down here. They jump, then they grab at things, they bite, then all of a sudden they go into the threatening mood. The next moment they turn back and screech in fear. Then they start to dash like John Wick. Have you seen? They're really speedy. the monkeys and so on. The mind is the same. It's constantly active in external thoughts. It sometimes grabs a subject matter. Then it lets go of the same subject matter. Then it swings between different thoughts. What did he say yesterday? What did he mean really yesterday? Then, oh, this person is my enemy. Next time I am meeting him, I'm telling him all about his bad qualities. Threaten, you know. Or we become fearful. Oh no, what if I meet so and so and he will remind me that I have again forgotten to send him a ladu, you know, and so on. And sometimes it just, you don't know, it's so fast it goes. This is the monkey mind. You have, however, not noticed that there is a monkey mind because you thought out of illusion, you are the mind. Brajviharini. This we think, we are the mind. We think this is good. We think this is normal. That we have a monkey running around and identify totally. This is another scandal. It is too much. We are highly disappointed with our performance and so on. Our thoughts are so subtle and fleeting. They come and go. They create desires, likes and dislikes, moods to which we helplessly surrender and so on. This is the monkey mind which rules and drives most of the people, most of the time. Kavi, what do you think? It is something. It is something. We lived in a little while ago. I lived near a bus station in our temple in Heidelberg, in the Center for Vedic Studies. This was just next to the bus station. I mean, you would go out and you would, from the temple, and you would be on one of the platforms where a bus would eventually come and take you to the destination it had. And I made it at a time when I was young, I would sit at the window of the temple and watch people who were at the bus stop waiting for their buses, and I would study their faces without them having the opportunity to see that I studied their faces. So you would sometimes see a man like, next moment, and, you know, you would see the mind was just running around, dashing around in his head, and he was forced, and his face was twisted according to the thoughts that were going on in his mind. So as you sit down to chant your japa, you will meet monkey mind. In our tradition, he is sometimes called, Raghunath Goswami says, my mind is like a wild horse. I pray that the poetry of Rupa Goswami, which is like a rider, horseman, a jockey in Dutch, you would say, I pray that this will go on the wild horse of my mind and drive my horse in the direction of Goloka Vrindavan. But it's a wild horse. They make like this, no?
Keep the carrots in front. They will go on the straight.
Yes, they rise on the hind legs and make noises. That's the mind. But as you enter into the kirtan, good kirtan, all of a sudden, in all this, there is the voice of the soul, a longing for Krishna. Yesterday, when I have the good opportunity, I sit and can watch everyone. I do that no one sees. Little experiment, you know, you have to prepare for your next class. So. And I could see many, many of you were all of a sudden in contact with something that didn't change. For a longer time, you were sitting in the kirtan and you had facial expressions which showed that you stayed more or less with one thought. And for some of you, it was not even an effort. The kirtan grabbed you with the train of the kirtan, grabbed you and moved you forward. My dear devotees, you have to understand, there are two voices in you. And at any moment, you have a choice that either leads you closer to your spiritual essence or further away from it. At any moment when you do kirtan, you have this moment. Sometimes devotees complain and say, "Oh Maharaj, my mind is so inattentive." I say, "Oh, have you noticed it? Tell me, when does your mind go away from the mantra?" "Oh Maharaj, you're impossible. You're from Germany. You of Germans are always so analytical." No, but you just told me your mind is inattentive. That means you have observed your mind going somewhere. No? Or did you just say it because we say such things in the Hare Krishna movement? The mind, I say, it's good if you notice that your mind starts wandering. Then you can bring it back. But if you don't think your mind is wandering, when you think this is normal life, you will never be able to bring your mind back. Some of us are in a cloud 24 hours a day. Of the mind, the mental cloud, without ever noticing that they can tell their mind what to think. They can direct it to Krishna consciousness. This is especially done during kirtan. Have you ever heard that this is a mantra? Mantra? Mantra means that which saves the mind from unwanted occupation. That's the Sanskrit definition. In my new book, I will give the Sanskrit line for this. This is and you can avoid doing this. And it means very simple. As soon as you see your mind wanders off, you bring it back to the sound of the holy name and let the sound take you up and away. Up and beyond. I think we say Padava Senas. So this is what you do with the mind. Would you like, let me combine it now. We will do an exercise in a moment, which will not be as embarrassing as this one. Ajit, please remove this because otherwise devotees feel discouraged when they see this object. Please put it a little far away, you know, we can forget how much we are, how spiritual we are. Yes. Thank you, Ajit. You have stopped our embarrassment. My dear devotees, when you chant, you engage the body. That is most simple. Then comes the mind, and then the heart. Usually when the heart is, that means the emotions, the feelings are with Krishna, it is easy to control the mind. We hear of the saint who was sitting in the night and chanting his mantra, when all of a sudden he heard breaking twigs and something was coming close. He thought it's maybe a wild animal, and there was the sound through the underbrush. And then the last minute, then he saw there is a beautiful lady dressed for romance coming through the forest, and not noticing him, and running against him, and he falls. I mean, he sits, but he falls over. So then the lady continues to run. So when the morning comes, he hears from the other direction someone gently moving through the forest, and he sees it's the same lady, the lady of the night. The lady sees him and folds her hands and pays her obeisances, playing the mantra, and comes and looks at him very gratefully. It takes so little to engage the mind. No, he is paid by me. No, it's a machine. It's a water machine. Yes, thank you. If I would be you, I would just take the electricity out. If there is. Sound is gone, so I think we are good. It comes back. And here seems to be a lady who knows this machine. There's someone who knows how to do it. We can fix, so the mind can be brought back whenever it goes due to its restless nature. You can, for instance, now take it away from the coffee machine if you want. It's possible. But you first have to notice it's not me. It is just the mind which went there. The monkey mind was fearful or disturbed.
But still some bananas for the monkey
mind. But I wanted to say, so he asked the lady, well, when you first came in the night, you just ran over me. You didn't say even sorry. And now you return and you pay your most humble obeisances to me. What is going on with you? And then the lady says, well, when I came, I was on my way to my lover. I went to a romantic meeting with him at the bank of a river. We had our appointment for the night. And my heart was, he has such good qualities. I was thinking of him with love in my heart. How dramatic. But then Can you do it or is
yes,
it
yes, yes,
we,
yes.
You can do it.
Yes.
We can continue.
Yes.
You don't have to look there. But what if the mind runs there? We will bring it back. We will bring it back. Good. Good. The very spiritually advanced Hare Krishna. They have learned so much over the years. My mind was with my lover. Then I saw you. I didn't see you. And sorry that I created this offense. But then when I came back, the loving affair, Hokya, it was done. Then I saw you and then I paid my obeisances. So in chanting, my dear devotees, when you fix your heart on Krishna, usually the mind will follow. Damayanti, we have to fall in love with Krishna. Then our mind will follow, a heavy bright mind, no? So the good way in which this is done is through prayer. And I would like to make I cannot teach the art of prayer here. I will teach it in America. Very nice art of prayer. We will give a session in Do Vrindavan. It's level 3 of the Holy Name course. But here I want to just read to you some prayers during the kirtan and then ask you to chant in this mood. Good. So what we will do is we will start our meditational activity. May I ask the young man there, is everything all right? Is it in dry clothes, you know? Is the baby in dry clothes, you know? And there's no smell. And so the baby's in dry cloth here. Good. We will do now an exercise. It is the last. And then I will open the session, hopefully for questions and answers, but we are moving quickly to the time. All right. Is it D? I request you to sit in a comfortable yet steady position. You can sit on chairs, there's no problem. But please try to bring your coccyx. That's where you had a tail when you were a squirrel, you know, in a past life. Bring that back to the leaning position so that you can sit straight. Place your hands on your thighs or knees, palms facing up this time. And are you tired?
No.
No. You're afraid of my exercises. Good, we won't do them. Gently close your eyes. Mentally scan and relax your body part by part. Start by bringing your awareness to your feet. Sense the aliveness in your feet. I always is bigger on my toes than that works best. Or then relax the feet. Move your awareness to your knees, then up to your hips, and relax. Move to your spine, scan your lower and upper back, and relax. Relax your tummy, then your chest. Bring your awareness to your shoulders. There is where most of the stress sits now. Then your arms and hands, and relax. Bring the awareness to your neck, the back of your head, the top of your head. Relax. Finally, relax your face. Sit for a moment in silence and notice how fully relaxed your body is. You feel pacified, peaceful. Breathe in and out through your nose. On a count of five, that means when you are inhaling, count five, two, three, four. When you are exhaling, count one, two, three, four, five. In and out, same ratio, same length. As you inhale, know you are inhaling. Be totally present. When you exhale, know you are exhaling. Let your breath flow smoothly and gently, not audibly, there should be no big sound at least. This called breath work. You will see how your mind will relax even more as you do this. When any thoughts appear, you're seeing them as an unattached witness. If they are moods, happy mood, peaceful mood, sad mood, know you're just observing it, free from judgment. Aloof. Now start chanting you direct your mind to the holy name? Should it wander off due to sounds in the background? Gently pull it back to the holy name again and again.
Yeah.
Because we have also been previously ignorant of Krishna, but now we are turning to him as his devotees. So here are the prayers, and as you hear them, try to enter the mood of the prayer. And then we will spend the rest of this workshop in chanting from this space. Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I ask you, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become thy servant, so that my mind may always think of your wonderful qualities, my words always glorify these qualities and your names, and May my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. O lotus-eyed Lord, I tell you something that is from my heart. As baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them, I always yearn for the opportunity to enter your direct service. And my Lord, as small calves tied with the ropes await anxiously the time of milking when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, I always yearn for the opportunity to come to you and directly serve you. And as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for your direct association and the opportunity to render direct service unto you. O Lord, let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached to you only. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Oh, Yeah.
Speaking of the chanting as a form of yajna, a sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord, where we are engaging our body, our mind, and our hearts. On the way, we were doing one exercise which I request you to not forget. When Ajit embarrassed us by putting the vase here, we were asked to focus our mind, and we could see how independently monkey-like our mind is moving and swiftly dashing here and there. Then we could understand the mind is not us. It has its own program, it has its own ideas, so that is very important for spiritual life, to understand we are not the body, and the mind means we can engage the body and the mind in a chanting. Finally, we were talking about opening the heart. For those of you who are liking to read the prayers which we chant, please make a note where you can find them in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, 11th chapter, verses 26 and 27. They are four together. Prabhupada says these prayers, Vitasura, form the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. So it is very enlightening and very pleasing to see. So I will repeat 6, 11, 24, 26, 27, but of course 25th is also nice. No? Please read it. Unfortunately, the time is not so much there, but we will go outside. We have to vacate the place by 6.
6:30.
Yeah, our Neelam Baba will say, but we will be outside. There's nice sun and nice environment. I thank you very much. It was a pleasure, not a pleasure, an honor, a great honor for me to spend this day with you, with these very nice reflections. And I must really say, your chanting has a very nice quality. The singing is really, it's a great, pleasure to be with you and hear your chanting. All the best for you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.